Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's so funny. With the Mets, and only a Mets fan would be able to understand what I'm talking about. A win like that, it's so tenuous with the Mets. It's so incredibly like just walking the tightrope that every one of these games, as they're about to go south, I'm like, oh, that's it. That's the season. Then you'll be three games under again, and how are you going to – and then you come back and you're like, all right, whew. Yankees fans would not understand. All right, whew, we saved the season. So we'll get it to the Mets. Couple of runs in the they had a 3-0 lead, fell behind 4-3, two outs, eighth inning, two-run rally, get a 5-4 lead. Lugo, he's back. He gets the job done in the eighth to Gesellman in the ninth for the save. Mets win 5-4. DeGrom, Greinke today. So we'll get it to the NBA Finals. Game two tomorrow night, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. There's intrigue in the NBA Finals. There's not only intrigue in the NBA Finals for me, by the way. There's intrigue in the Finals slash where do all the pieces fall now this month? Because June 30th, 6 o'clock, all these things can start to unravel. Not a lot of NFL today. Carl Ravitch going to join us at 10 o'clock this morning. So we're excited about that. We'll talk to Carl about the Yankees and the Red Sox and just the Yankees, you know, have almost run away and hidden from Boston right now. The lead is 8.5, and we'll get into the topic of, as far as Boston is concerned, as the ship sailed with this division. Because 8.5 on June 1 is a big number. And you look at the Red Sox, and they have a lot of flaws. Stump Rothenberg, 10:30. We do it every Saturday morning. That tradition continues today at 10:30. And then 11 o'clock, everyone's favorite guest, RJ Bell, for the hour. Lot to get into with him. We'll start with the Yankees. We'll move to the Mets, and we'll get to your calls. 800-919-3776. So you can line them up. All you Yankee fans who are booing Machado, and I don't even know why you're booing Machado, mind you. You're booing Machado because he what? Because he said he really wanted to come to the Yankees? Like, you're booing Machado why? Because you wanted him and the Yankees didn't make an offer. It makes no modicum of sense. But here's the point. You wanted Harper. We got to bring in Bryce Harper. He's the perfect fit. He'll play right field. He'll be there for 15 years. We want Machado. We'll trade Andujar for a stud pitcher. We got Machado. Look at us now. You got LeMahieu. LeMahieu might be the best of the lot right now. And I wanted LeMahieu for the Mets. This is not a Monday morning quarterback situation. When the Mets signed Jed Lowrie, I was thinking to myself, and I said it, and Rick and I said it on air, they made a mistake. The two mistakes the Mets made, and I don't want to make this about the Mets, but the point is how well Cashman has done and how good Brian Cashman is. And a lot of Yankees fans, and shame on you, don't realize how good this guy is. But Ottavino and LeMahieu were sensational signings. And you look at LeMahieu now, and you look at every at-bat that he has, and how good he is. And last night, again, big hit after big hit. And he plays a gold glove caliber wherever you put him. This is a really good baseball team. And it'll only get better. And now you've driven a wedge of 8.5 games between you and the Red Sox. That's a big number. I don't care that it's June 1. I don't care that you have 4 months of the season left. That's a big number. Chris Sale's not the same pitcher. I don't want to sit here and tell you the Red Sox are done as far as this division is concerned, but they're teetering on it. And I'll tell you what, you're the Yankees. You want to put the nail in their coffin? Win today, win tomorrow. You leave this weekend up 10.5 games, and this season for Yankees and Boston as far as the division is concerned. Now, I'm not saying the Red Sox can't cobble their way into a wild card, win that wild card, and then beat the Yankees in the ALDS. I'm not saying that. But as far as the division is concerned, it is teetering right now for Boston. And they are not a very good baseball team at this moment. Now, I'm not saying they can't turn it around. I'm not saying that they're not talented. And their offense is certainly good. But when you look at the Red Sox and you look at the Yankees, that is night and day at this very moment. The Yankees are clearly the better team. And I don't care if you want to call them the Baby Bombers, the B Bombers, the C Bombers, the D, but whatever you want to call them, they're a good baseball team. It sounds like Didi is on the verge of coming back. You've been carried by guys this year that you didn't even know about. I mean, no one was excited about DJ LeMahieu, and wrongfully so. All-star, batting champ, gold glove, but it didn't move the needle. If the name was Manny Machado, it'd be on all the front page covers, and we're so excited, we can't wait to see him. You know what? I'm going to say this, and I don't think it's out of line. Machado, at this moment, is not the player that LeMahieu is. At least for the Yankees. And you look at the numbers of Machado. Now, I know he's playing in a pitcher's park, but still, what Machado has done in the first third plus of the season, in comparison to LeMahieu, on a far bigger stage, right now, if I said to you, the Yankees fan, would you rather have Machado or LeMahieu? I don't even think you'd have to think about it. So I just find it comical the other day when he comes to town and the Yankees win that series as well over San Diego. The boos that Machado had to endure. Why? Really? Why? What was the rationale behind that? He said he wanted to come to the Yankees. As far as I know, they didn't even make him an offer. And the Yankee booing him off the field. Listen, this is what the sports fan is. They wanted him. They thought he should be a Yankee. Everybody who's a good player should at some point be a Yankee. And for some unknown reason, the Yankee fan is angry about it. But again, great win for the Yanks. You know, to get by Chris Sale, to allow one run, and this is the Yankees' recipe. And this will be, I mean, what you saw last night is really the recipe for the Yankees to have success in the postseason. You're going to need 5 or 5 1/3, or maybe if you're fortunate, 6 innings from your starter. Hand it over to the bullpen, and then you have a whole litany of choices of where you can go at that point. You can go Ottavino, Britton, Canely, Chapman, Green, hopefully Betances at some point before long. I mean, they have a ton of choices. But this is a good baseball team. And if I'm a Yankee fan right now, there's only two teams right now that really scare me. Two teams. Houston and the Dodgers. Right now, 7-game series. And look, crazy things happen. I'm not saying it's an impossibility. Crazy things happen. But realistically, there's two teams in a 7-game set that can beat the Yanks. That's a great win. You have now put Boston 8.5 games back. Tampa loses to Minnesota last night. How about Minnesota, by the way? I know their record is unbelievable, but there's no way that there's a Yankee fan out there right now saying, okay, keep me away from the Twins. That is the last team I want to see. No. Houston, Dodgers, Yankees. Put them in a hat, scramble it around, pick out your winner. 800-919-3776. So Yankees firmly entrenched on the table. And then the Mets, the little engine that could. So I hosted a charity event last night, come back exhausted. But Mets fan want to watch it. So I'm watching it. They're up 3-0. Like, wow, Wheeler's pitching well. Home run. All of a sudden they're down 4-3. I'm like, oh, for God's sake. End of 7. I can't keep my eyes open. I'm exhausted. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. The last thing I need to do is to struggle to stay awake for this game. Stay up till 1:15 in the morning. The Mets will lose. Then I'll be even angrier. I'm not doing it. I'm falling asleep. Totally fall asleep. Wake up this morning, and the thought is in my mind, the Mets lost, and now I got to check it out. So I go on my phone, and to my just thrilled, you know, just ecstatic viewing, the Mets come back, scored 2 in the 8th with 2 outs, and get away with a 5-4 win. And I feel like it's so tenuous now with the Mets that any little, it's like when you have that girlfriend and it's not on good footing and anything you say, she'd be like, you know what? We're done. It's over. I don't want to be with you anymore. I feel like that's the Mets. Like any little thing that happens, just like a loss here or a loss there or Gesellman letting it get away, anything can put this into a tailspin. And they win that game, and now you got DeGrom on the mound, and you're a game under 500. So again, Mets, Yankees, polar opposite ends of how good a team can be. But at least for a night, that is a big win for the Mets, especially after going 1-3 on that road trip against the Dodgers to start it out.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, you talk about the way things have flipped from last year to this. October, the Red Sox destroyed the Yankees. They destroyed them. from the moment that Aaron Judge is blasting New York, New York outside of the Red Sox locker room, the Red Sox destroyed them. And maybe I'm wrong. I got the feeling if those two teams last year had played in the postseason in 10 series, that the Red Sox would have won 8. I just think they were the better baseball team. Right now, isn't it amazing the way that happens too? I mean, we're how many months later? We're now 7 or 8 months later, and the Yankees are clearly the better baseball team. And on the verge, mind you, and I know we're only a couple months into the season. We're June 1 today. We flipped that calendar. Of completely burying the Red Sox as far as catching up and winning this division. 8.5 is a big number. It's a huge number. And you're right on the precipice of putting them to bed. You win these two games. And you may not even need to win these two games. But if you win these two games, and we're 10.5 when you get up and you go to work on Monday morning, June 3rd, is there any chance that Boston comes back and wins this division? 5% maybe. So today your matchup is Porcello and Herman. Herman was not great last time out. We'll get into this with Carl Ravitch starting at 10 o'clock. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Marvin, my dear friend Marvin in the Bronx. Good morning, Marv. How are you?
Hey, you know I'm glad Ty's not there today. I was on my way to Gettysburg last weekend, and I still call you guys. And you're the only guy I wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning and look forward to talking to. Because you're great. You're my man. All right?
Well, I appreciate it, Marv. You know, you're my guy, too. I mean, the love fest can't stop between the two of us.
You know that. Check this out. And I still, you're getting a photo in the mail of something I took in Iraq. But here's the thing that I get most pleasure out of the Yankees winning. My wife's a big-time Met fan. And it feels good to wake up every morning and say, the Yankees have won again.
Well, now, Marv, you're a wonderful guy, and you've served this country, and you're a great caller, and you're a good sports fan. Well, aren't you better than that?
A great voice.
You have a voice of angels, voice of gods. But here's the point. You should not, you're a Yankees fan. You should not be waking up after the Yankees beat the Red Sox and turning to your wife and saying, ha, we win again. Take that, Mets fan. You're better than that.
Give me a few minutes and let me tell you a story. The winter of the beginning of 1998, my wife, we hadn't gotten married yet, and she was teasing me. She put a pillow out on the floor and said, and stood off to the side. She said, "Honey, you know what this is?" I said, "What?" "This is Paul. This is Bernie standing off second as Paul O'Neill flied out and ended that season." I turned around and said to her, "This is going to be one great season and a season you're going to remember." And I'm starting to get that same feeling this year.
This is a special team. I mean, what they've done in 2 months with the amount of injuries they've endured, Marv, is a special team. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to recreate what 98 did, because that was possibly the most special team in this most storied franchise's history. But for 2 months in, looks like a hell of a baseball team right now.
And let me tell you something, Dave. You don't get enough credit how good you are. You are outstanding on the radio. And it is an absolute charming pleasure to talk to you every Saturday.
Well, why do you think I don't get credit? I mean, I'm on a big-time show. I'm always discussed on the station. I'm on 6 days a week. When Stephen A. takes time off now, I fill in for him. I think I'm at the level I should be at.
Now, you know, Stephen A. is my nemesis. I'll go back. I'll tell you about him. But I have a lot of respect for the brother. But he's not better than you.
Oh, I think that goes without saying.
Absolutely, my man.
Marv, I always appreciate it. Enjoy your Yankees nirvana right now, and I'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
All right, there you go. Marvin from the great Marvin from the Bronx, with a voice that the gods would weep over. 800-919-3776. Mike in Westbury. Mike, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's good?
What's up, man?
I don't know. I think about the Mets. I mean, who do you think Brody is going to pull the trigger on?
I have no idea. I mean, you are. I cannot get into the head of Brody. Here's, you know. Remember Deep Throat? Follow the money. I would just say when it comes to Brody, the Mets follow the CAA path. That's what I would say. Because everything that he does seemingly has a distinct tie to CAA. So but what is he going to do? I have no idea. I mean, he sat here a week ago and told you that they're going to be totally fine and that there's no reason to change and it's all on him and they're staying the course and away we go. So I would be lying to you if I told you I had an idea of what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Thank right? You do you feel the same? I mean, do you feel like any semblance of what the Mets are going to do moving forward?
When you look at Mac on it, you understand why he was trying to ship off Syndergaard. Because I don't understand what's going on right now. This fastball is just straight. It's not getting anybody out.
Syndergaard is frustrating. Although you say that after he had a really good start on Wednesday night. Gave you six innings, a three-run ball, maybe the best offensive team in all of baseball.
I get that, but it got to be a little bit more consistent for me. I mean, DeGrom, he's not doing as well as, you know, he probably should be right now.
He has not been great this year. Be nice to turn that around tonight, though, and Arizona's not a great baseball team.
No, but, I think Syndergaard is the biggest disappointment out of all of them. Him and Wheeler, I guess, but I'm not going to be too – I mean, I'm being a little bit too hard on him, but
you know what, Mike? Let's be fair. The Mets are built around starting pitching, and Syndergaard, DeGrom – Wheeler have not been what you hoped they would be coming into the season. I think you're legitimate.
Yeah. And his changeup, he should be using his changeup a lot more. I mean, it's a simple game once you, like, I feel like he's a veteran. He should be able to know what he should be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a vet. He understands that in order to get guys out, you got to use your fastball, but you do have to switch it up at times. Like, you got to throw the change. I understand you like the curveball. You want to look good. People want to get the fastball. I mean, people want to just strike.
You can't. I mean, Mike, you're 100% right. Rick mentions it all the time on our show, and thanks for the phone call. You cannot solely blow guys away by throwing 99 miles an hour. It's amazing to think you can't, but you can't. If you just consistently throw 99, they will find a way to turn on it and hit it, and well. And that's why you think that anything, whatever, any decent, you know, slider or changeup would be destructive on these guys. You throw a 92-mile-an-hour slider after you're going 99, that they would not be able to touch anything. But he has not been good this season. You know, and this is terrible. You know that Syndergaard has a higher ERA than Jason Vargas right now? And on the positive, because we don't talk about a lot of positive stuff, how good is Echevarria? I mean, really? I mean, let's be honest. From what if you didn't know, and you landed from Mars, and you had no idea, and I said, here's Robinson Cano, here's Adani Echevarria, you, without a doubt, would think that Echevarria was the better player than Cano so far this season. You know why? Because he has been the better player so far this season. Another big hit last night. Every game. A win or lose, every game. Had two more hits last night. Two more RBIs last night. He might have more RBIs right now. He might have. I have to look it up. We'll look it up at the break. He might have more RBIs right now than Cano had in the first couple of months of the season, which is shocking / embarrassing.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So, Anthony, I'm at this charity event last night. Out of every 10 people that come up and approach me and want to discuss the show, I would say six just want to talk about Stump Rothenberg.
Only six.
It's unbelievable how this segment has completely swept the nation.
We got a call at 9:02 for Stump Rothenberg.
And he said, just keep me on hold till 10:30?
He just said, when should I call back? I said, well, definitely not right now, but for sure later.
So let me see if I can figure this out. It airs at 10:30. When should I call back?
Well, we have our caller line now for contests. I think we need a Stump Rothenberg line specifically.
Well, I don't think we need a dedicated Rothenberg line.
We can look into that.
I think what we should do is at 10:24, just clear all the lines, hang up on everyone who's happens to be waiting, just wipe them out, have them all ready for Stump Rothenberg, and then you can call at that point. Yes?
I think that's fair.
Not fair if you call it at 9:02 and you just wait on hold for an hour.
But we can't allow this stuff. There's rules here.
There's rules that need to be in place. Absolutely. All right, let's get to some of your calls and then Carl Ravitch at 10 o'clock. And then Stump Rothenberg coming your way 10:30. All right, we'll take this call because it wants to mention Stump Rothenberg, and that's Greg in Piscataway. Greg, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. What's up, Dave? Happy Saturday.
What's up? Good. How are you?
Dave, I'm good. Hey, Dave, you're my guy. I love you. I've told you multiple times that you are the voice of the crazed New York sports fan. That being said, Dave, I got to call a little bit of fraud on Stump Rothenberg.
Oh, Greg, this is like an arrow through the heart. Why would you do that?
Well, see, here's the thing, Dave. I think that there needs to be a set timer on it, and you just get one guess. So lots of times you take multiple guesses.
No, Greg, I always get one guess, and the answer is very quick.
You kind of throw your foot in the water there just to see.
Well, I will verbally run through some ideas that I have, but in the end, I take one guess. And Greg, you're right. It should be one guess.
I think it needs to be on the timer. And again, Dave, you're my guy. Saturday morning.
You know what, Greg? You say that. If I'm the guy, I have this great girlfriend. She loves me. She wants to be with me. She can't get enough of me. But I go out with my buddies on Friday night, and she's on a date with someone else. That's what's going on right now. You
but
love me. I'm your favorite host. You can't get enough.
Dave.
But here's all the problems with you, Dave.
It takes away from your greatness. That's just me objectively speaking, Dave.
All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call. I think our relationship will probably never be the same again, Greg, but I think you're a good man. Let's go to Joey in Staten Island. Joe, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Here's the thing that people are overlooking when the Yankees started really clicking is getting Guardy out of the leadoff spot. Dropping him in the order made him more productive.
And he's all over the place. He batted fifth. He'll bat ninth. Yeah, they put him all over the place. You're right.
So he's a prototypical number seven batter. Look at his numbers in the lower half of the lineup, right? Kendry Morales should be a pinch hitter. / matchup player. You got to get this guy out of the lineup on an everyday basis.
Joe, are you watching the same Yankees team I'm watching, the team that wins game after game after game and hasn't lost a series in months?
Yeah, but they could. Listen, it doesn't matter. Yes, they're winning great. I'm excited about that. But they need to tinker with the lineup more. Aaron Hicks is killing us in the top part of the order right now. You have the American League batting average.
Where do you think Aaron Hicks is going to bat in big moments? He's going to be in the top of the lineup.
But he needs to get his bat going, put him in the lower half of the lineup. You got Urshela batting .338, hitting eighth.
Did he have a huge base hit last night?
Yeah, but I'm saying he's going to get more opportunities with a .340.
More opportunities in the bottom of the lineup than the top?
No. I want him in the top, Urshela. That's what I'm trying to say.
Urshela, I mean, come on. If the Yankees play the numbers game like they do, there's no way that you can put Urshela in the top of your lineup. He's just not that kind of a hitter. He's been great, but he's not that kind of a hitter long-term. If you're looking long-term, Joe, there's no way you think Urshela is going to be a .300 hitter.
But he is right now with 100.
But Joe, you're talking out of two sides of your mouth. Aaron Hicks will be in the long-term, and you want to bury him. Urshela is in the moment, and you want to put him in the top three.
Oh, definitely over Morales and Hicks right now, 100%.
All right, Joe, I'm going to move on. I mean, you sound like a big-time Yankees fan, and I appreciate the phone call, but this is the problem. You're sitting here running away with the way you've played over the last couple months. You've been playing brilliant baseball. Everything that Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman has done has worked to a T. And the lineup is not good. You got to make changes. I mean, Aaron Hicks has been back for a couple of weeks, and already we're there. Might have had the biggest hit of the game last night. Urshela's hitting like .330. You think Urshela's going to hit .330 this year? Why not bat him fourth or second? That's when you put the best hitter, right? I mean, my God. And that call is why people can't stand the Yankees. That call right there. Now, Anthony, you're a huge Yankees fan, right?
That upset me.
So do people like that call, and granted, he's a big Yankees fan, but just harp on such minutiae when the team is so good, does that annoy you?
Well, I would say that there's nothing to complain about. It's almost
exactly.
Hard to say the words. I can't.
It's a complain-free zone right now.
You could almost make the case for Hicks if he didn't have a two RBI single last night against the Boston Red Sox.
But you won.
And it's still a stretch.
You can't when you're winning. You can't do that when you're winning. You can't. It's like the Giants are 10-1. You're like, yeah, but I don't like this right guard. Shut up.
You know, if the Giants are 10-1, we're going to have a party somewhere, right? I don't know where the party's going to be, but we have to have a party if they're 10-1.
If the Giants are 10-1?
The Giants are 10-1 this year.
I'd give you a kidney if the Giants are 10-1.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're looking for that kind of thing, but
Right now, I think mine are good. So well, I think
I hope
then,
mine are
then,
okay.
Then it's great. Then the Giants can go 10-1, and I can keep the kidneys. That's good, because I wouldn't want to have to. But 10-1, I mean, there's no way the Giants are going to be 10-1. But the Yankees are. And still you get people complaining. Well, I mean, he's outraged over it, too. I mean, how could you have Hicks hitting it? Where do you think long-term they want Aaron Hicks to bat? Right there.
But lead where off. And where is Morales going to go without protection?
And Morales,
what's he going to do down at 7, 8, 9?
See, this guy's so ridiculous. Because he's talking about the present, which is great, and then he's talking about the future. You think Kendrys Morales is going to be getting at-bats in the postseason for the Yankees? No.
He may not be on the roster.
No. The answer is no. He's a stopgap until you get healthy. So stop it. It's ridiculous. 800-919-3776. John in Brooklyn is next up on 98.7. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm just hearing you talk about the Yankees, or Boston, rather, not being able to catch the Yankees in the division. And now I'm looking at the games played, and they only played 56 games so far. There's still 100 games left.
Yeah, I know. But right now, John, do you think that Boston is even close to as good as the Yankees are right now?
No, not at all.
No.
But
and the number is what? It's 8.5 right now?
8.5 games, and there's 100 games left. Like, that's like saying you're up 20 points in the NBA first quarter, of a game.
But no, it's not. No, it's not at all. All right, so, John, you want to make a wager on it? I'll take the Yankees, you take the Red Sox.
Well, I'm not a Red Sox. I'm a Mets fan, so, I mean.
Okay, if you think Boston comes back and wins the division, then it should be a wager you're willing to make, no?
Well, I mean, like, you're playing the odds here. I mean, I just...
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm playing... Well, yes. Yes, John, you finally caught on, and thanks for the call. I'm playing the odds. He's all big, and well, this division's not over. There's 100 games left. I get it. Boston is nowhere near the same team that they were. Their bullpen is disgusting. It really is. I mean, the Red Sox bullpen is an abomination. And you say there's 100 games left, and there is, and even more. They're 8.5 games out. That's a huge number. So you're 8.5 games behind a team that is clearly better than you. I'd say 49 times out of 50, that's going to hold. I'm not saying there's zero chance, but 4%? Okay. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Lewis in Whippany. Lewis, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
What's up, Lou? How you doing?
Dave, you are, like everyone says, you are my guy, man. I love your segment. I love, and to be honest, I wish you were by yourself Monday through Friday. I'm not even
Well, that's
lie.
Not very nice. I have some good calls Monday to Friday.
I know you have calls. I love Canty and Rick. I really do, but... I think they're holding you back, man. I really
no,
don't.
No, I'm not going to accept that. That's not nice. A big butt coming here. I love you this. No. I love you that. I love you here.
Shots fired!
And let's note how nice I was to my calls. Go ahead, Lewis. What do you got?
So, I want to take you on that wager. Like, I'm a Red Sox fan, so.
Oh, come on.
Yes, they'll catch them. It's 100 games.
Lewis, why would you think that they're going to catch them?
So they're going to have Didi coming back, right?
Right.
They're going to have Judge, Stanton. Right. They're going to have everyone coming back, right?
Right.
I feel like at some point they're gonna stumble trying to get everybody back in the group. And I'm hoping that they do. And plus, later on this month, I think on between the 14th and the 16th, we're going to play the Orioles. That's going to be three easy games for us right there. And then hopefully we'll be maybe
I'm not
six,
saying, Lewis. Lewis, I'm going to do, and thanks, so I'm going to save you from you. Because I say, why would you possibly want to make this wager? You're like, well, I'm a Red Sox fan, so you don't want to make this wager. It's absolutely foolish. I think the Red Sox can get into the postseason. They're not winning this division over the Yankees.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can try. I don't know the success rate that you'll have. Last week, I think we're right about 50%, which is good. There's a lot of hard questions, and we'll see where we are this week. By the way, Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. Andrew M. Cohen is now sponsoring Stump Rothenberg. Tell you how you get in touch with him in just a couple of minutes. All right, take a deep breath. It's fast, it's furious, it's action-packed. Anthony, there's a lot of pressure on you today.
There usually is.
Well, there's a lot more on you. There's a lot more on you in the next 9 minutes than typically you have.
I will take it with in stride, and I will take it as a serious responsibility.
If these calls are terrible, that's on you.
It is on me, isn't it?
I can't blame Ty for this today. Ty's not here.
We could.
All on you.
If we wanted to.
I guess we could, but that would seem unfair. All right. Would you like to lead us off, or did you defer to the callers?
No, I'll lead off.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay.
What topic are you going with?
Movies.
Uh-huh.
What was Clint Eastwood's first film?
So Eastwood, do you know he's almost 90?
Isn't that amazing?
It still looks terrific, by the way. So, oh, God. A Fistful of Dollars is one of them. I don't know if that's the first one, though. It's probably before that. That's a good question. I don't think it's right, but I'm going to say A Fistful of Dollars.
Nah, sorry. Francis in the Navy, 1955.
10 years before. I think Fistful of Dollars was in 65. All right, so there you go. So that's a win for you. That's one for the people. 800-919-3776. Let's go Will in Massapequa. Will, you, my friend, are on Stump Rothenberg.
How's it going today?
What's up, Will?
Can you name the three other quarterbacks that have represented the AFC since 2001 other than Brady and Manning?
All right, so here's the issue now. It's only supposed to be one question, but I will answer this question for you. So give me the question again. The three quarterbacks to what?
Since 2001, there have been five total quarterbacks that have represented the AFC.
Okay.
Who were the three names other than Brady and Manning?
Joe Flacco. Rich Gannon. And Ben Roethlisberger.
Correct.
And there we go. All right. We're 1-1. 800-919-3776. That's a nice question. It's not impossible, but it gives you pause, and you got to really think about that. Let's go to John in Jersey. John is on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Love the show.
Appreciate it. What do you got, John? Where are we going here? What's the category?
Listen, we're going movies.
Okay.
Who starred opposite Brad Pitt in the 1990 blockbuster Across the Tracks?
I believe it was Ricky Schroeder.
That is correct.
Yeah. Wasn't that one of those like made for after school movies? I believe it was. That was good. How about that? Like one of them was, they were brothers and one of them was a drug addict and they lived in a trailer park. Yeah, it was one of those kind of after school special movies. 800-919-3776. Brendan Long Island is on Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Brendan? Where are you going here? Appreciate it.
I am going TV. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're around the same age. You've got a chance, but this is a tough one.
All right.
Jetsons. The Jetsons dog, Astro, family dog Astro, discovered they were not the original owner. So the original owner wanted him back and gave him his original name. What was Astro's original name?
Oh my God! I mean that's basically an impossible question. I have no idea. I will guess, and it was Scraps.
No, not even close.
What was it?
You ready?
Yeah.
Trowbaz.
You know, I kind of remember that, but I would have never gotten that. And I did. I did used to watch the Jets.
When the dog said it, Broncos.
Yeah, I did. I used to love the Jetsons, the Flintstones, all those cartoons. All right, so we're 2-2, rolling along. Brian, are you playing?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You ready?
I know you said you had a couple of questions. You said one is good and one is bad. Ask me the good
one. No, the other one is kind of, well, they're both tricky. That's the thing.
What, are you going to give me riddles? All right, go ahead. What do you have?
What company is the world's biggest distributor of toys?
Biggest toy distributor?
Yeah.
Now, why is this tricky?
Do you know it?
McDonald's. Boom. In your face. Because they give prizes away with everything you buy.
I thought you were not going to get that one.
No, you know what? Stay out of my wheelhouse, baby. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dario, Long Island. Dario, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
What's up, Dario? How you doing? Where are we going here?
I'm going TV.
TV.
Okay, what is Kramer's first name on Seinfeld?
Cosmo. Come on, stop it. Please. Correct. I mean, stop. How dare you? How dare you insult me with what is Kramer's first name? I'm a Seinfeld genius. Walter Harlem, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right. Hey, how you doing? This is television.
Okay.
The Wire, the best show in television history. This, one of the stars of the show is Bunk Moreland. What is Bunk's real name on the show? Bunk Moreland's real name on The Wire.
It's a good question. I have no idea because I've sadly never seen The Wire. So I'm going to guess. I've never seen it. I know I should watch it. Now,
what? You've never seen The Wire?
I've never seen it. I'd like to. There's a lot of shows that are all-time great shows that I've never seen. I'm going to guess that it's Steven. Is it Steven?
I have no.
William.
Okay. All right. I don't feel bad about that. I never seen The Wire, so I don't know. Monty in the Bronx. Monty, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. By the way, I think you should do a special edition Stumped by Rothenberg where you ask the questions just to remind people how difficult this is.
It's not easy, especially with all this pressure and everyone staring at me. And, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. Go ahead. What do you got?
What pitcher holds the record for striking out 10 consecutive batters?
Ugh. Pitcher that struck out 10 straight batters. So this is going to be an old one. I'm going to go see. Is it Seaver?
It is Tom Seaver.
Yeah. And that's the game he struck out 19, right?
I don't remember, but he struck out the last 10 batters.
Yeah, I think that's the game.
1970 against the Padres.
I think it was 16. Was it 70 or 69? Well, whatever. Doesn't matter. All right. 800-919-3776. I'm representing. Anthony, you would say I'm representing myself very well today, right?
Absolutely. I figured you knew the Seinfeld one, but I just
the Seinfeld one was a layup. It's like, Anthony, your middle name is? I mean, yeah, yes. That's a layup. You have another one since you've done a nice job producing this?
No, you know what? I just had the one, and I'm gonna take my one for one today. How about that?
Then we move on, and we go to Darlene in Connecticut. Darlene is on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Darlene. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
In 1973, which athlete was on the cover of Newsweek, Sports Illustrated, and Time the same week?
So Newsweek, what else?
Time, and Sports Illustrated.
Secretary.
You're good.
I'm good. All right, I think, Anthony, what you think we call it there?
I think that's fair. That's a solid one.
That was not solid, my friend. That was sensational.
I meant that last question. The whole segment was
sensational.
Now,
in fairness to you, the questions were very good. Like, it wasn't questions that it's like no one could possibly know this. The questions were good. I did well. We end on a high note. And there you have it. That's an edition of Stump Rothenberg.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So, NBA Finals, that's where we're going to go here. What you saw in Game 1, and again, and we're so reactionary, just with everything. And it's funny because Rick mentioned it yesterday, it's so accurate. We watched Game 1, Celtics, Al Horford against the Bucks. And what was everyone's reaction? Yup, Bucks are frauds. They can't beat Boston. Celtics are so good and so dynamic. And look what we have here. And away you go. And 10 minutes later, the thought is Kyrie was a mess. couldn't compete at that level, needs to leave Boston. Ainge didn't do a great job. Brad Stevens didn't do a great job. Tatum didn't progress the way he should have. We're so reactionary. So I know that a lot of people now, you watch game one and your thought is, okay, here's how I see it. Golden State, flawed, no Durant. Are they in trouble? Maybe, possibly, not yet. Not yet. Because here's the question for you. Do you realistically think that, and listen, Siakam is a terrific player. He's a terrific player. But do you really think that the Raptors are going to have multiple games shooting 50% from the floor? And the answer is, of course not. I mean, Siakam was 14 of 17. Gasol was 6 of 10 and hit two threes. Danny Green hit three. Now, Green can shoot, and I'm not taking that away from him. But Van Vliet was on fire. And I would just say, if you're either, well, whatever, it doesn't matter who you root for. But if you're of the mindset that, okay, Toronto can compete, and maybe they can. Just for my money, I don't expect Siakam, Gasol, Green, Van Vliet to be able to produce at that level over and over and over. And maybe they can, and maybe I'll be proven wrong. I just think that there's too much there for Golden State. And again, I thought Toronto played. Now, Leonard was good. He didn't score a ton, but he was good, and he was efficient, and he always is. Lowry was not. He's the one guy that he looked at. He said, boy, he can play better. But I didn't think Golden State played well at all. Like, I thought Golden State was kind of bad in this game, game one. And it's unusual to look at this team and say they don't play well in a moment, in a game, in a series at all. But I think you saw that in game one. But do we move forward in this series and Golden State plays like that and Toronto plays like that? No. And again, don't, every time something happens, don't be overreactionary at the drop of a hat. Wait, digest it. Again, honestly, and I think this is more the question for me, if Golden State loses tomorrow game two, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 and, of course, watching on ABC starting at 8 o'clock, if Golden State loses game two and goes home down 2-0, would you, at that point, I think you have the conversation. And only then would I be even willing to entertain who can potentially win this series. Because I am, and maybe you are, and maybe you know, but I am not there. And I am not close to there. And I'm not saying that you can't have a drawn-out series, because I think that Toronto's a good team. And look, Boogie Cousins is not healthy. Andre Iguodala is not healthy. And Kevin Durant is not playing. So you understand why this, and this is an all-time team. And there's no one that could argue anything differently. This is, you might love Jordan, the Bulls, Rodman, Grant, Pippen, all those guys, fine. The Celtics with Mikhail and Parrish and God knows who else. Dennis Johnson. Doesn't matter. Russell, Havlicek, Kuzi, you can go anywhere you want. Rodman, Isaiah Thomas, Dumars, that team, Kobe, Shaq, any dynastic team that you want to mention. When this team is fully healthy, I think they're as talented as any of them. But they're not. And I think that gives the Raptors a puncher's chance in this series. But for one game in, to say that Toronto has a huge advantage, it's one game. And they played well. And Golden State did not. Mario in Jersey City is next up on 98.7. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how's it going, Dave? Actually, I called you yesterday. I don't know if you remember, but I brought up the same point that all the media is kind of basing their knowledge on past Warriors, not right now. If you look at the matchups, it's like I was picking the Raptors all week before game one. If you look up the matchups, there's like about five or six players on the Raptors that can go off for like 15, 20 points or more. Warriors right now, without Durant, of course, it's about two, maybe three players that can kind of go off for more than 20 points. And the only thing that no one's bringing up, everybody's saying the Raptors is the first year. They have no experience. They actually have Kawhi, they have Green, and then they have Ibaka that all went to the finals in the past.
Yeah, look, I just think the Golden State's the better basketball team. And I think over a long series that will be shown. Yeah, you know, I have confidence in Golden State. And thanks for the call, Mario. And maybe I'll be left at the altar. And I feel the same way about the Patriots. I'm not going to be early to calling the Patriots dead or in trouble or not the same team. I will be late to the party when it comes to that. And same with Golden State. They're too talented. I mean, you really expect game three And maybe they will. And I'd love to see it. I'd like to see Toronto at least make this a long, drawn-out series. But you would be surprised if Golden State won this series in five right now. Or six at the most. Because I would not. I think that there's a real chance that that's what you see. So if you want Toronto to win this series, you better root like all can be for the Raptors to win tomorrow night. Because if they don't win tomorrow night, you're not going to see a game seven. Root for the Raptors desperately.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I welcome in my partner in crime, the wonderful, talented, some would say lovely, very knowledgeable RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ Bell.
Way down inside.
You're right there.
Baby, you and me. Oh.
I didn't realize you were going to serenade the New York audience.
I'm a big Zeppelin fan. I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You listen to the pre, you know, let's say 85 stuff. A lot of it sounds good, but it sounds like it's old, right? You listen to Satisfaction, great song, but you wouldn't think that came out last year.
No.
There's Zeppelin songs, a lot of them. Could have came out last year. Like, you would not say, oh, that's an old song.
Would you say Zeppelin favorite band? I'm going to give you some options here. I'm going to give you The Who, and who doesn't like them? I'm going to give you The Beatles, and I'm going to give you Zeppelin. Where are you going?
Now, listen, you're bringing up an age-old debate. So, let's say Beatles and Stones, and then Zeppelin on one side. Is that fair? Because in a way, the Beatles and the Stones are poppier, though Stones are a little heavier on the pop. Zeppelin's heavy metal. But then the heavy metal people are going to say, oh, no, no, no. You know, Ozzy and some of that stuff, which is much, much heavier. So obviously, it's a continuum. I would say Zeppelin didn't have hardly a song that you would say was like a top 40 type. Maybe Fool in the Rain. But forgetting all distinctions, just like say, it doesn't matter. Do you like the music? To me, Zeppelin's in a class, but I'm not sure who's in the conversation. Though obviously the Beatles and the Stones have some great stuff, but let's be honest. The 20th time.
Thank God for your honesty. Do you recognize? Listen, I got to bring this up, and only because I love you. That you're a radio, I mean, some would say savant. Like, Marconi would move over to give you awards. But do you recognize the crutch that has developed with you coming on with all your radio hits? Do you know what it is, RJ?
Is it say, I say, let's be honest?
Let's be honest.
I only say that when I'm talking about a topic that's my personal opinion. And with you, you love to mine my personal opinions, which I love.
Yeah.
But if I'm talking about, like, I think so-and-so is a better team, I don't say, let's be honest. I'm usually saying that with opinions, and it's really a cry to the audience to get away from their defaults. There's nothing worse than someone having that same opinion, they're going to hold on to it. It's like, let's open our minds up, everyone, together, and move towards the truth.
Here's what I value what you say, but here's what I don't want to have happen. 5 years from now, you're doing radio in Reno, and it's just, all right, let's be honest, people, you know, over and over and over. Well,
you
and
mean
over.
Reno, like of one of my 200 stations?
No, like,
well,
like
I'm just in Reno.
Gets. Like you've fallen off the grid and you're in Reno, and it's just, and the name of the show is Let's Be Honest with RJ Bell from 7 to 8 p.m. every night.
Honest or not, what I'll say is I'll be playing poker betting the WNBA before that happens.
All right. Let's go a little diamond notes here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers. I really do. I think one of the great things about you is your analytical mind and the numbers and the way you process. So how about for this? Yankees right now, RJ, we're June 1, have an 8.5 game lead over the Boston Red Sox. Odds that they win this division, even though there's 100 games left, have to be monumental with an 8.5 game number at this point, don't they?
Yeah, so what Vegas would do, and I don't have this analysis in front of me, is we would say, okay, what was our expectations coming into the year? What has happened since? And now you combine those two, not necessarily 50-50, you know, there's some blending and say, all right, here's what we project their likely win percentages from here out, right? You do it for the other teams, and then you say, okay, based on that, what is the likelihood that any team's going to pick up enough game to beat the Yankees? Now, it sounds complex, and it is for the layman, but really it makes sense, right? Let's say you – I'll give you an example. Let's say that one team was up 8 games, and we projected both teams to finish the year from here on, from this point on, 50-50, you know, 500 record. Now, you might say, well, for sure the team up by 8 wins. No. If you project a team to be 500, within one standard deviation up or down is the likelihood they finish in that range. 2 standard deviations is another likelihood. So there's just a way to project what's the likelihood of extreme results. So you're right. You would expect the Yankees to actually win if more games from here than any opponent because they've shown themselves to be better so far. And quite frankly, the Yankees in Boston, for example, were considered to be about equal teams entering the year. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of math, you know, a little bit more than Algebra 1 type stuff, but it's not that advanced.
And that's Diamond Notes brought to you by H.L. Gross Jewelers, Long Island's family jeweler since way back in 1910. Whether it's shopping for an engagement ring, dazzling piece of jewelry, or a Swiss timepiece, H.L. Gross has you covered. Visit H.L. Gross in Garden City or at hlgross.com.
Dave, let me ask you, is there any record stores left?
I don't think that exists.
Where?
Do record stores exist? I don't think they exist anymore,
do they?
Well,
I mean, like CD. Is there anywhere in New York you can go and sit and look at the new releases?
Anthony, I don't know. I would think the older stuff,
yeah.
Oh, the retro stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We have those down on the east side, yeah.
Let's put the sales team on it, and we can have a little, like, album review type segment. You know, 2 minutes. Sponsored.
I'm all in on this. You're asking a lot. But we can bring that to the attention of the sales team next week, certainly.
All right, I'm just making suggestions.
And I love it. I think we should take some calls today. How do you feel about that?
I'm ready for anything.
And anywhere we want to go, 800-919-3776. So if you want to ask, and are you ready for anything? Is it like open calls for you right now?
Listen, there's no one. Johnny Cochran off his grave isn't going to get me. So bring it on.
So you want to go NFL numbers? You want to go week one? You want to go?
Yeah,
NBA
but if I don't
finals?
Like the question, I'll steer it in another direction.
Right. And let's be honest. If it's a question you're not a fan of, you can just, let's be honest, just adjust it any way you like.
You know, and I could say, listen, obviously you have an agenda, so I will not feed into it. That's a standard I'll use sometimes, too.
All right, let's start out the phone barrage and bring in Fran from Massapequa. Fran, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, fellas? You guys are the best. Not only a few weeks ago did my man RJ tell one of the fans that he should have taken Judge in the first inning to hit the home run, which he did. He was 100% right. He mentioned last week about an over and under, baby. And that over and under, he hit every point. It made so much sense. And I went out, made a couple of bucks. I want to take you guys to lunch. That under was a lock. And you were so right about that. Everything you said about the under with the overtimes. They pumped up the scoring per game, and it was just nice. It was nice. I think it was just I got covered that by under 10, you know, 10 points.
And Fran, I don't even think it was close, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was a laugher. And the best
Fran,
thing about,
can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, sir.
Why do you think it is that Dave hasn't mentioned that in all the time since?
You know what it is. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but when you're hanging with somebody that's a big shot, you know it's tough to pump them, keep pumping them up.
So you're saying Dave is nervous?
Yeah, he's gonna have to pump you up every 5 minutes. You told some guy just on a whim. The guy's like, oh yeah, I'm taking Aaron Judge in the seventh inning. You went into a 1 minute spurt. You were like, listen, pal, you don't take the seventh inning. You go for the first. If you're gonna take Judge, you take him in the public. What happens in the Yankee game? First inning, bang, Aaron Judge home run. You've been around the game. You're the type of gambler I'd love to hang out with because you're the type of gambler that can win. I know people are going to go, oh, this guy can't win. There are people with brains that can win if you do it right. And everything you said about that over-under, I told everybody, And they were, oh, why do you like the over-under? And I told them exactly. I said, because the line is inflated because the game went to overtime. And it was an extra 20, 30 points scored. And the, I mean, you were so on with that. And I just love it. I love the truth. I love when people are right on. And Dave, don't get me wrong. Dave, you're as good as it gets in your field. So that's that.
But yeah, but let's be honest.
Why do I have to take hits here? Why can't you just call?
You're hanging out with a big shot. You see, the thing is this. You're hanging out with what I call a mover. This guy moves. He makes things move, line, whatever. Money, he's a maker, mover, whatever you want to call it. RJ, you're the man. I want to take you guys out to lunch. Dave, I love you. But RJ, man, you just keep pumping out facts. And that's what makes you who you are. Love you guys.
Thank you, friend.
Well, listen, that was well said, I thought. But
what a surprise that you enjoyed that, huh?
But this is what I want to tell the audience out there. Please, Dave does his best, and it's mighty good for what he does. Now, let's be candid. What, a lot of people do what he does, and they tend to blend together. I think Dave is a little bit better than the average.
Just a little. So you would put me at an above-average talk show host.
I think it's discernibly better. You can listen and say, this guy isn't just one of them, right? Now, a lot of people would say, well, what does that even mean, right? Talk show host. A guy like you, RJ, you're affecting lives financially. But I'm saying, don't even think at that level. Just say, Dave is good, RJ's good, and we're lucky to be together, and I'm fine with that.
Listen, I'm fine with you being the big shot and being the guy that everyone loves and me just taking the back seat because that my ego doesn't need to get in the way.
And it's funny because Canty tries to play that role, and you know when you try that hard, it comes off a little desperate. and I think the fact that with him and you, you're okay because people's looking at him saying, you know, each year that goes by, it's another year from his glory days. And you would think he maybe gets more comfortable with it. But in truth, what you find out is he starts reaching back with more vigor. It's going to be interesting to see as the years keep passing.
It will be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what wager we make on our show against you. Last year, as we remember, you fell short.
Yeah, let's just say this. I had one arm behind my back, and I think we all can agree with that. He was changing the rules as they went.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
What do you think your world is? Is it media? Is it radio? Is it the world of gambling? Like, where is your sweet spot at this point?
You know, that's what's fascinating, because I think... And all joking aside, I think there's certain industries where a specialist is key. So imagine, you know, some type of plant, they're producing tires, and there's just one guy that knows about tread thickness. I mean, a very niche, narrow expertise, but boy, if he was spending half his time on treads and half his time on something else, and those treads were problematic, look out, right? But if you're an entrepreneur, which... You know, I started a business about a dozen years ago. You got initially it's you and maybe one other person, the old Steve Jobs in the garage stuff. You got to worry about taxes. You got to worry about everything. As a company gets bigger, you specialize. But what you're seeing here with sports betting is you got to know your stuff first. And let me be honest with you. There's nothing wrong with I think, Dave, you're the perfect example. You are a borderline.
Am I going to get beat up here?
No. Okay. You are a borderline perfect host for a sports betting show because you know enough not to ask stupid questions, but you don't know so much that you act like you know because you are the stand-in for the audience. Someone has to be a stand-in for the casual fan because they're, you know, the casual better because they got to ask, wait a minute now, when you talk about the straddle on that money line, what are you talking about? Because the typical expert's just going to go buy it like anything else. Like, this is easy. So, but what you end up seeing is those guys get insecure and they start acting like they're experts. And I don't want to name any show that has the word lock in it, but there's a small show on a network where they've got these three guys, and I actually know, let me think about this. I know all three of them, and, you know, not like sit down every day for dinner, but And they're all good guys in their own way, but they got them all acting like they're experts, and they're not. And it's like, to me, the worst thing in the world is to act like you're something you're not with sports betting, because it's going to get exposed very quickly. So what I would say is be careful, because I've seen some casual hosts like you, Dave, let's say with your level of knowledge, that are now the leads in a show giving a bunch of picks. And it's like, wait a minute, this guy barely knows what he's talking about, but he's telling you what to bet. And to me, that's the trick, is there's a lot of money to be made on it. And to be honest, be careful.
Okay. That's a nice public service announcement from the wonderful
audience. I mean, I'm not naming any names, but have you seen this?
Have I seen the show you're talking about?
No. Have you seen that all these shows are popping up?
Yeah, of course.
And it doesn't sound, I mean, you know
enough. The problem, and I mean this sincerely, and I'm not trying to, you know, stroke your ego here, but there's not a lot of people that have tremendous knowledge in the gambling world that also have a personality that's worth 2 cents.
I think there's not a lot of people with the gambling world that can even broadcast. I don't need to hear your stories about your prom or Zeppelin. That's just a special talent I'll bring to the table. But I just want you to be able to, like, not sound, okay, next game, Townsend State. Now listen, it's better to have a boring guy that knows what he's doing.
Sure.
Than vice versa. But boy, it's tough to find both.
Right. And so we have acquired both in you, and we're going to use as much as humanly possible.
Now, what's funny is, last thing, in the stuff we do at pregame, literally I'm the least knowledgeable in any given situation, because I do a lot of media. I do run a company, even though I've done this since I was 14 and I'm in my mid 40s, so 30 plus years. I know I'm one in, let's say, 100,000 with knowledge of sports betting. But we got guys that are one in 20 million, like literally guys that are one of the 10 guys. And most people can't discern the difference. Right, it's a great line in Good Will Hunting where the professor's really upset. He says, there's only 10 people in the world that know the difference between me and you, but I'm one of them. And I know these guys are better than me because they know things that fifth level that I don't. But the fact that I can host and I know far enough to keep them honest, that's the combination. So for anyone thinking, this is free advice, anyone thinking of doing a show, you got to make sure you got a host that can keep the experts honest, because otherwise the audience is sitting ducks, because the audience doesn't know. If they know, they wouldn't need the show.
And that's where I come in. And that's why you actually said something nice about me for once.
Well,
You did. Let's get to your NBA pick. 800-919-3776. Phone lines are open. You want to talk to RJ, you're welcome to. All right, I'm gonna read your mind. And I'm gonna tell you now, let me just ask you this. Is the pick spread or is it over under?
It is the side. It is the spread, yes.
All right. So it's a spread.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna give you who you like, and then you'll tell me if I'm
right. I think your odds are 50-50 at worst.
Of course they're 50-50. But I'm delving deep into the site. Like, I go, Miss Krantz, third grade, let me move past her, and you got into Harvard Law School, let me move past that. All right, now here I am. I walk right up to game 2 NBA Finals. You want me to all right, I'll promote it, RJ, since it's in your mind and I'm there.
I'm listening.
Now. You can hear the game on 98.7 ESPN starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Watching on ABC Channel 7 as well. All right, let me slip past that. All right, here we go. I'm looking dead at it. RJ, and you will correct me when I'm done. You will either concur with what I say.
Which is code for saying shut up for a while.
Yes. You love, and this could be your five-star play of the, you love Golden State in this game. Golden State is getting points. Warriors, you do not expect them to fall down 2-0. You can't envision that Siakam will go 14 of 17 again in a game 2. You look for the adjustments from a coach that I think is very underrated in Steve Kerr. RJ Bell, as I'm sitting here looking deep into your mind, the recesses of your mind, you love the Warriors getting points in this game tomorrow night.
Well, I guess we've reached a stage I'm unnecessary on the show. No, uh-huh. Dave, not only are you right about the pick, you're right about a lot of the analysis, and it's impressive, actually. So let's go through it. We've talked about, for months now, the zigzag in the NBA. but it really bears repeating. It's a strong belief of the professionals in Vegas that if one team wins the next game, the other team tends to have an advantage. Zig and then zag. Why? It's just human nature. You win something, you get fat and happy. Oh, yeah, we're fine. We don't got to make any changes. Just play the same game. The other team is like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? We got to change something. And the combination of increased motivation and complacency on the other side lends itself to series going this way and then that way, zigging and zagging. It's not science. It doesn't happen every time. But if you look at the line, and Dave, you've seen this. Think about it. More times than not, a team, home team, early round, favored by seven, they win the first game, they cover the first game. What should the line be without the zigzag in the next game? Well, if you cover at seven, at minimum, it should be seven or higher, seven and a half, let's say, because this team has proven itself to be the better team, at least for one game. But usually that line is going to be 6.5 or 6. When you see that, you know for sure that the zigzag is a thing because they're saying this team's desperate, this team, you know. Now, we're not talking about elimination games, which is the extreme case of that, right? Now, the line in this game, typically, which was 1.5 in game one at home, Toronto, as of yesterday, I'm just checking it this morning for the first time, was 2 yesterday. So now you're saying, wait a minute, the zigzag says the line should go down, that it should move towards Golden State. Why wouldn't it? And I'm seeing 2 right now. So now it has gone up. Okay. Mm-hmm. That can only come from one thing other than injury, which is an informational type change. It's saying we've reevaluated Toronto. That whatever we thought the distance between these teams were, it's bigger, or in this case, smaller, because Golden State was thought to be the better team. It is smaller than we thought. That literally Toronto is a little bit better than we thought. And maybe Golden State's a little bit worse than we thought. And to me, that's a really faulty assessment. We're moving towards 100 games we've seen these teams play. We're moving towards 40 or so games we've seen Golden State without Durant in the Durant era, these 3 years. To point to that last game and say, see, that's why they need Durant, is utter BS. Imagine if you and I, Dave, we're in a special VIP section in Vegas because you were with me. Right. We're watching the roulette table. And I said, Dave, I heard this wheel is unbalanced. I think it's going to be red a bunch. And you're like, wow, okay. Black, 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 red. When red comes, if I said, see, I told you so, how crazy would that be? Well, people have been saying, oh, Durant's so important. Win, 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 win. And then finally they lose, and it's like, see, they need Durant. We can all debate Durant, but this team is mighty good without him. And it just doesn't, this line should probably be pick 'em because it was 1.5. Zigzag, and now it's 2, so we're getting that value. And it's also finally important to stress, all you ever have when you make a bet is the distance between what you think the line should be and what the line is. So in football, line is 4. I think it should be -3. I'm taking the dog. And the only time I'm different as a pro than a drunk baby flipping coins, as I like to say, which is 50-50, is if it falls 3 or 4. If it does, my extra handicapping edge has an effect. And if it doesn't, I'm just like anybody else. But 1 out of 20 games, in theory, will fall in that range. And thus, that's the difference between the guy that bets but works a 7-Eleven and the guy that does it for a living.
So there's the selection. RJ likes Golden State +2 game
2.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.